Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Today, we're joined by Scott Fliegelman, a top senior pro pickleball player. He's a facility owner, podcaster, and coach. Scott shares his journey from endurance sports to pickleball and reveals how the sport's unique dynamics and welcoming community reignited his passion for fitness and competition. We discuss the importance of off-court preparation, effective communication, and adaptability for success on the pickleball court. Scott also provides unique insights into customer service that I personally found insightful. If you're a pickleball player, make sure to check out his podcast, 4-0 to Pro. It's one of the top shows for the sport, and it's like The Blueprint, short and straight to the point. So let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best. Scott, you said when we met in Chicago that you were a former multi-sport athlete. I believe you were a triathlete. And you told me that you had lost motivation for training and being in the gym. And you made an interesting statement. You said that you lacked playmates and that you found that in pickleball. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. Yeah, I was involved in every aspect of endurance sport, running, cycling, triathlon, mountain biking, Xterra, kind of every discipline for about 20 years. And my vocation was in multi-sport as well, training, you know, a few thousand aspiring and perspiring athletes here in Boulder, Colorado. Trademark pending on that. I didn't realize I had lost my motivation until pickleball came along. I wouldn't have thought I was burned out. I didn't have any of the telltale signs, but within a week of discovering pickleball 5 years ago, I had sold two bikes and dropped out of the Leadville 100 mountain bike race and haven't looked back. I thought I might continue to keep the social aspects of multi-sport and keep meeting with those friends. But as you mentioned, like, I really found being back on the court to be such a warming feeling, having grown up on the tennis court, and just a group of more accomplished players adopted me and didn't let me fall back on bad habits. And I guess those were the playmates I was referencing.
Yeah, there's something about this game, and I would love your input on what the difference is between tennis and pickleball regarding the community nature of the game.
You know, tennis gets a bad rap, I guess, when it comes to being a little stodgy. I mean, it's a much older game. And the way I describe it when I teach newbies in pickleball is in tennis, you pretty much show up with your foursome, you play, and you leave. And in pickleball, especially my experience, is you show up by yourself, you play with a dozen new buddies, get a handful of phone numbers, and it's just super social on and off the court and just a little less stodgy. Yeah, I was shocked pleasantly when I got to the pickleball courts 5 years ago and there were Bluetooth speakers all over the place. People were playing music and I really enjoyed that. And I was like, there's no way you would see that on the tennis court. And you still don't.
I've never been to a facility where people didn't welcome me in. And even as a brand new player, it was kind of cool when I was going around and talking about AIM7, people were like, hey, why don't you hop in and play? And they were eager to coach me and they weren't condescending. I'm sure there's rear ends everywhere, but for the most part, I've just found the sport to be so welcoming. And I also think it's part maybe because of the construct of the court. You're so close to people, like in front of you and next to you. And so you have to have some dynamics, you know, where in tennis, you're so far apart. You know what I'm saying? You're almost on an island.
For sure. I mean, as a teacher, I love the intimate classroom setting. Everything's closer. I don't have to shout as much. But what you experienced, Eric, I did as well on the front end and now on the other side. I do think the sport brings a more gregarious nature, a more welcoming nature. But also, unlike tennis, you could have four players with four different ability levels on the pickleball court, and it is still fun. Mm-hmm. In tennis, it's not. If you're getting paid to be on the court, like I have, then that's one thing. But it's really, you just don't have a rally. But in pickleball, you know, take a 2-5, a 3-0, a 3-5, and a 4-0, and the four of them can have a really good time together.
No question. My wife and I played recently with a friend, and it was her first time to play, and she's a pretty decent athlete. And she was holding her own. The only thing was, is she was a little bit overzealous and like just running all over the court. I didn't say anything because it was just fun to be out there with her. But at some point, I can't remember, I think it was at the end of the match, I was like, hey, honey, there's a line for a reason, you know? But it's just really fun to be out there with her. Now, you're a top senior pro. You're an excellent teacher. You own a facility. You've trained athletes. You're an accomplished podcaster in the pickleball space. So when I ask you this question, you have a lot of knowledge to pull from. Do you just need to play pickleball for global fitness?
Like a lot of questions, I start off that answer with, it depends. And likely it depends on one's goals. Mm-hmm. Pickleball, I think, gets a bad rap for being an injurious sport. And, you know, your expertise is right on point and right on time to help people prepare better for that. I think if you're looking to play competitively, especially, let's delineate right away between doubles and singles. A small percentage of weirdos like me play singles. And absolutely, you need to prepare more so off court. Just playing pickleball isn't going to get you ready for competitive singles and, you know, the dynamic elements necessary there. But doubles, you know, I think if your reasons for being on court are social and less competitive, the problem there is pickleball is so fun that even those players will play for 3 or 4 hours, and the cumulative wear and tear likely would benefit, especially from a sustainability standpoint, if they want to play without taking injury breaks. Then, you know, I guess my answer kind of comes back to most pickleball players probably could benefit with some off-court preparation.
Absolutely. There's research in racket sports on the impact on longevity. So racket sports and running have been demonstrated to be two of the best activities for longevity, specifically because if you look at racket sports, like the coordination aspect, the visual motor system, balance, the aerobic capacity, the high intensity intervals. And singles pickleball is very different energetically than doubles pickleball if you track it. But the resistance training is something I see that a lot of people are missing. And just from a global health perspective, if you just want to live a long time, it's really important. But it hasn't been widely adopted yet. I haven't seen as something that people are seeing to be necessary. What do you think needs to be done to kind of get that done?
Well, take myself, for example. I have identified for many years that I'm not real good at self-motivation when it comes to resistance and strength training by myself, even with the prescriptive advice. I have learned that I'm better in a coached environment with, and here's this word again, with playmates. So I have found myself running out of what I jokingly call legacy fitness. My endurance sport fitness no longer benefits me. I mean, it's been a few years, and that was a sagittal plane fore aft sport. And now I'm playing a sport with a whole lot of lateral movement. I've learned that I need to prepare so that I'm not dealing with injuries and I can reach my goals athletically. But I benefit from what a lot of my students benefit from is an organized class with a start time, playmates, you know, a fun and constructive coached environment. And that's what gets me out there. So, you know, maybe we need more of that in pickleball to speak more of a pickleball familiar language to get people on there playing better pickleball and being more resilient.
You know, there could be something to this with new facilities that are popping up. I think you have classes at your facility, don't you?
We have a lot of on-court classes. We haven't yet found our stride with the preparatory classes. We have a fitness room we offer for warm-ups and cool-downs. We have worked in concert with a great physical therapy practice, Alpine Fit, which is nearby. Those practitioners play pickleball here. I've done a collaborative class where I've described the movement patterns that I would like to see on court for better pickleball. And then the physical therapists provide assessments and, you know, specific movements for them to do off court in order to execute the movements, but also stay healthy.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be an opportunity. I know that there's some places like the Hub in California where they actually have a gym attached to the facility. And I don't know, I'm just thinking from as all these facilities are popping up around the country, the opportunity to kind of keep it all in house for some folks. Yeah, I just think that there's going to be an opportunity there. Pickleball is also a very mental game. you're so close to people that emotional control and regulation is really important. As you transition from a game that, from a, I guess, an experience that was always you on a bike running to more of a team oriented game, what are some of the things you did to improve communication on the court and just that set of skills?
Well, prior to endurance sport, I was a high school collegiate and pro tennis player. And one of my favorite experiences there was college tennis, which is a team environment. It's one of the reasons I think I love the NPL experience, the National Pickleball League, you know, 50 plus senior pro team-based league. I just feels really good to be back in that team environment as a participant and as a team leader. It works for my nature. On court, I tend to be the more verbal player. I like to talk. I like to call the ball. I love complimenting my partner. That's like my exclamation when my partner does something well. I love to verbally set them up. And I find myself to be, and I'd love to see more players replicate this, a chameleon as a player on a court in doubles, where I want my partner to feel really comfortable playing his or her preferred style of play. And I'll adapt my style to complement their style. I think our best play is frequently when they play their, you know, relaxed game and I adapt my style accordingly. It may not be exactly the answer you were expecting, but that's one thing that I can do from a teamwork standpoint.
That's a selfless approach to the game. And I appreciate that. You know, when you can make somebody else feel comfortable and let them play to their strengths. It also takes a lot of skill to know how to adapt. So you have that skill set, but I think it's something more people can learn from and adopt. Speaking of the NPL, I really enjoyed the event in Chicago. I'm excited for the NPL to come here to Houston. The quality of pickleball that I was watching was fantastic. We have former Heisman Trophy winners there. We got guys like you who played college tennis, great athletes. You're the captain of the Denver team, and you told me about a unique exercise that you kind of took people through where you asked people to share their preparatory goals for the season, and you thought that had a really cool impact on accountability. Could you unpack that for us?
I can. I think it was a really good way to begin building team chemistry, and I started off with an element of self-deprecation. I shared with them that I had run out of my legacy fitness. I'd been relying on that. I work a lot. And I had identified in order for me to be my best. And when I'm best on the pickleball court, I'm a disruptor. My movement, my off-ball movement is pretty impactful. But I was carrying an extra few pounds. I hadn't been doing any of the explosive dynamic preparation. And so I just shared with the team on our Team Reach app, here are some of my off-court goals to get ready for the season, including weight loss. And most people look at me and they don't really think, oh, this guy needs to lose a few pounds. But really, I did, and I still do. And for me, that was an accountability element I wanted to share with my team, that I was carrying a few extra pounds, and then open the floor in a group environment for people to share their goals. Didn't need to be weight loss, but what are you going to do to bring your best self to our kickoff event in Chicago a couple of weeks ago and throughout the season? And every player stepped up to share something.
Where did you learn that? Or is that just something you thought through?
Well, in endurance sport, as I briefly referenced earlier, I had 10, 11 years of experience leading a team of coaches and a few thousand would-be multi-sport athletes. And I'm sure, you know, I know I dealt with every range of personality, emotions, backgrounds, different stories. One of my favorite things about Fast Forward Sports, the name of that group, is we could go to the track with 60, 70 people, and we would all have the same workout, the same shared experience. I used words in the opening, like some of us here chose their parents better than others and will cover distance more swiftly, but we're all going to achieve the same effort and discomfort level. And an hour later, we've got, you know, high fives and hugs on the infield between the 6 minute milers and the 14 minute milers. And everybody had the same level of joy and sense of accomplishment. I'm sure that has contributed to my smaller role as team captain for the Denver Iconics. And I love the chance to work with this team.
That's awesome. The last thing I want to ask you about is you told me that as an instructor and as a facility owner, that you have coaches with varying levels of experience and skills and capabilities, but you give the newbies that come into your facility the best coaches. Why do you do that?
Somebody asked me about my career recently, and I ran back through the many things I've done chronologically, and I'm like, man, there's no way I'm that old. Yeah, but it turns out I am. You know, I started coaching tennis when I was 15. I started teaching skiing when I was 18. And there was a ski school instructor in Sugarbush, Vermont, named Paul Brown, who shared with me that our competition gives their greenest, rookiest coaches to the never-evers. And they teach, you know, a not so great lesson. And not a lot of people come back. At our ski school, we're going to assign and compensate our very best instructors to the brand new skiers and snowboarders so that we give them the very best first experience. And lo and behold, a very high percentage of them were retained. They came back, they bought ski passes, they bought instruction packages, and off they went. And that stuck with me. That's 30 some years ago. And any of our instructors could do a really good job here at Boulder Pickleball with our Learn to Play program. Mm-hmm. It happens to be that I genuinely enjoy it. I really feel like those students sense that. And, you know, they get the best instruction and the most exuberance and a prescription for what comes next starting tomorrow. You've got the paddle, you've got the ball, you've got the instruction, you've met seven other playmates, and off you go. And we keep a very high percentage of them, and we see them, you know, within the next week out there playing pickleball. And it's really rewarding for all of us.
That's awesome. That's an excellent lesson in customer service. That, I mean, that was the kind of the first thing that came to my mind. And people that listen to this show are often leaders at work and at home. And when you want to build rapport with people, you need to give them the absolute best from the very beginning. Sometimes we kind of think of it the other way. I know, like my college football experience, you know, it was kind of as you earned your way through, things got a little bit better. But what about giving somebody the best possible experience day one so that they want to come back? And that first touch point is fantastic. Now, Scott, you are the host of a great podcast called 4-0 to Pro. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Sure. My co-host, Michael O'Neill, who I've known for 25, 30 years, going back to our mountain biking days, he came up with the idea about a year and a half ago, reached out to me, and he alludes to himself somewhat self-deprecatingly as a 4-point something, aspiring senior pro. I'll toss him a little love out there. He did get his first senior pro match win at the APP New York City event a couple of weeks ago. So that's legitimate. Way to go, Michael. But yeah, our approach, unlike many of the other podcasts out there, is, you know, we get in, we get out. We're pocket size, tips, tactics, strategy, one per show. You can look at the theme, and we average 20, 25 minutes per show. We leave the fluff and the pro drama and the paddle wars to some of the other shows that are out there. And, you know, we take on the challenge of audibly providing instruction for the aspiring 4-0 to pro. We mostly provide these audio only. We visualize our listeners driving to the courts, driving to or from work, and spending, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so immersing themselves in pickleball audio instruction. And we've gotten great feedback that, you know, who knew that people could get better by listening to a couple of guys talk about pickleball and pickleball instruction.
I love it. That's the recipe for the blueprint. We feel the same way here. Just get in, get out. Nobody's got 2 hours to listen to whoever talk about, you know, their life and all this kind of stuff. Like, get to the point, give people what they need. I'm really thankful for the impact that you're having on the sport. I'm thankful for you. If people want to get in touch with you or they want to follow your journey, how can they get a hold of you?
You know, a lot of good stuff is on Scott Fliegelman Pickleball on Instagram, also Boulder Pickleball on Instagram. Message me through either one of those. And, you know, also 4-0 to Pro on Instagram.
Awesome. We'll put links to all that in the show notes. Thanks so much for coming on today. I appreciate you, and I'm excited to see you next week in Denver.
Thanks, Eric. I'm excited for your pickleball journey and playing my small part in that.
If you like the show today, please leave us a rating and written review on whichever listening platform you are joining us from. Until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.